It's certainly good to be with you this morning. Our God has blessed us with another opportunity to be able to gather as His people, to be able to worship Him, to be able to now open His precious Word and to allow His Word to edify us, to build us up in the most holy faith. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13, that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. If we're a part of the kingdom of God's dear Son, we are the most blessed people here on this earth. We understand that the kingdom is speaking of the Lord's church. The kingdom of God was in His mind before the foundation of this world. Before God ever created this world, before God ever created you and me, the kingdom was in existence. But we see the kingdom in a spiritual way here on this earth, when the church was established in Acts chapter 2. When a person obeys the gospel, that person is added to the church. Paul says it a little different in Colossians 1 verse number 13. He wants us to understand that we've been delivered from the realm of darkness and we are now in the spiritual realm. We're now a part of the kingdom of God. Paul would say in Philippians 3, verse number 20, that our citizenship is in heaven. If I'm a part of the kingdom of God, I realize that my citizenship, my true citizenship, is in heaven. In Romans chapter 14, verse number 17, we learn something about the kingdom that we are a part of. When Paul says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Spirit. That's what we have as citizens of God's kingdom. We have eternal joy and peace. That's what we experience being a part of the kingdom of God. And to have that eternal joy and to have that eternal peace as a member of that kingdom makes life worth living. I'm convinced that to some degree, everybody is looking for peace and happiness. All you have to do is just talk to people. People are looking for peace and happiness. Now, we understand that most of the people in the world are looking in all the wrong places for eternal joy and peace. The Bible teaches us that if we're going to experience that eternal joy and peace, we have to become a Christian. In Romans 15, verse number 13, the Bible says that there is joy and peace in believing. Believing is a synecdoche. It basically represents the totality of what it takes to become a Christian. And Paul's point from the book of Romans is that when we obey the gospel plan of salvation, going all the way back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we experience eternal joy and happiness, Romans 15, verse number 13. And this should be our aim, our goal, our ambition, to abide in this joy, this eternal joy and happiness as a Christian. As I said, this is where we attain eternal joy and happiness. We attain eternal joy and happiness when we become a Christian. But this morning we're emphasizing how to maintain it. It's one thing to attain it. And as I look at this audience this morning, and I could I could change directions if I wanted to. But as I look at this audience this morning, I realize that the majority of this audience is made up of Christians. Christians who are striving to maintain eternal joy and happiness. Again, it's one thing to attain it. It's another thing to maintain it. And as you think about that idea of attaining eternal joy and happiness, and think about maintaining it, both of them are important. And both of them deserve biblical lessons. But we're emphasizing how to maintain it. Because once we attain it, we can lose it. The eternal joy and happiness, the peace that I'm talking about this morning that comes from God, that comes when we become a Christian, it's something that we can lose. I'm using an Old Testament passage that is still true today. God can take away peace. The peace that He grants us, that He gives us, the peace that we receive through the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, verse number 6, can be taken away. This is what God said about His own people in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse number 5. I have taken away my peace. God took away His peace from His own people. Now, if you study the book of Jeremiah, you can see why God did that. And the people, as you know from the book of Jeremiah, became hard-hearted. They became rebellious. In fact, Jeremiah put it like this in Jeremiah 7, verse 24. God's people were going backwards and not forward. Going backwards. Going in the opposite direction. Jeremiah told the people in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, "Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths." You know how the people responded to Jeremiah's preaching? They said, "We will not walk in God's paths." And so God had no choice because of their rebellion to take away peace. Peace, joy attained. Peace, joy maintained. Think about a New Testament example. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, we read about the congregation of Laodicea. And when you see what the Laodiceans were saying about themselves, you can see that this point is implied. It's there. What's implied is that they were happy, they were rejoicing, because they thought they were rich. Again, they thought they were rich. And they even said, "We have need of nothing." But Jesus turns around and says, "You are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are..." excuse me. "You are naked." Spiritually speaking, they weren't doing so well. And so as we think about how important it is to maintain this eternal joy and peace, I want to invite your attention to Philippians chapter 4. And Philippians chapter 4 is such a great chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 9. 4 through 9 provides a divine recipe on how to maintain eternal joy and peace. A recipe for abiding eternal joy and peace. That's what we're interested in. We want to keep ourselves in God's eternal joy and peace, and the Holy Spirit reveals how to do that. And we can be thankful that we have God's inspired Word that teaches us how to do that, because that's not going to happen by accident, you see. And so what Paul has to say here can help each one of us spiritually speaking. Now, as we look at Philippians chapter 4, as I said, we're going to be looking at verse number 4 and following. We're also going to visit this context tonight. As you know, on Sunday nights, we've been studying the book of 1 Peter. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5, but we won't be there tonight because I want to finish this context. This is such an important context, and there's so much to say from this context that can help us. And so it's going to take us a while to break it down. And I want to do justice here. I want us to center our thoughts this morning and this evening on this beautiful context. We'll look at verses 4 and 5 this morning. Lord willing, we'll jump right back into our lesson. And we'll pick up in verse number 6. We'll talk about anxiety. That's a good subject. We'll talk about the peace that passeth all understanding, Philippians 4, verse number 7. We'll talk about the importance, verse 8, of being spiritually minded. We'll talk about the importance of being active, being doers of the Word and not simply hearers, in verse number 9. And all of those points, all of those verses are really key ingredients in helping us maintain that eternal joy and peace that we read about here in Philippians chapter 4. Because I need that. You need that. And we need to understand what eternal joy and peace really is. And what it does for us. What it does for us. It really helps us as we go through this life. And so I want you to see the command in verse number 4. What is the command? The command, and it's an imperative, which simply means in the original text, a command. It's a command that God is giving to His children. What is the command? Look at verse number 4. Rejoice, notice where, because it's so key, in the Lord. Again, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And you know what? I'm going to say it one more time for emphasis. Again, I say, rejoice. Sometimes, in order for us to get it, we have to be told more than once. Okay? A lot of times when we communicate with one another, when we communicate with our children, when we communicate with our spouse, we have to say something more than once. I believe you see the same idea here in Philippians chapter 4. God says, I want you to rejoice. And I'm going to say it again. I want you to rejoice. But that doesn't mean that we'll never be sad. And this is where sometimes we misunderstand what Paul is saying. God wants me to rejoice, so that means I need to be smiling all the time. That's not exactly what Paul means when he says, rejoice in the Lord. Why would I say that? Because there are times in this life that life will bring you to your knees. There are times in this life that you will weep like a little child. Because of the pain, because of the suffering that you face in this life. You see, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16, again, Paul says, rejoice always. But the Bible also says in Romans 12, verse number 15, that we are to weep with them that weep. The Bible also says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 4, blessed are they that mourn. And Jesus is talking about an individual that is mourning over his spiritual condition. And so it's important to understand exactly what Paul is saying when he says to rejoice in the Lord. Because there will be times that I am sad. And there are times that I will be happy. I understand that about life. But again, Paul says to rejoice always. How can we do that in times of sorrow? How can we do that when the circumstances of this life make it very, very difficult? Because rejoicing in the Lord is really an attitude of contentment that transcends circumstances. Think about that. It's an attitude of contentment that transcends any physical or earthly circumstance. And I can show you that from this context. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, I want you to rejoice. Where was Paul when he said that? Paul was in prison. Circumstantially, things weren't so good for the Apostle Paul. Things weren't that pleasant for Paul. But Paul says, I'm happy. Did that mean Paul was smiling when everybody saw him? Perhaps, but not necessarily, because it's more of an inward joy that the Apostle Paul is talking about, that we experience being in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, at verse number 11, look at Paul's circumstances. And his circumstances were not always favorable. In verse number 11, that I speak in respect, not that I speak in respect of want, for Paul says, I've learned. Listen to what he's saying. For I've learned in whatsoever state I am, there to be content. What is he talking about? Whatsoever state I am. Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The point that Paul is saying, whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, I'm happy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. That's the command. That's the goal. That's the aim for all of us. To learn to rejoice in the Lord. But again, it's not a superficial happiness based upon circumstances or the absence of trials. Again, it's not a superficial happiness absent from the trials that we all face in this life, but rather, here it is, and I've said it already, but here it is. It's based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, rejoice in the Lord. We can be happy because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, every day is a good day if we're a Christian. If we are a part of the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what makes us happy, period. It's an inward joy based upon the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul will stand up before King Agrippa. You read the book of Acts and you'll see how Paul came to standing before King Agrippa. Circumstances weren't very favorable. Paul had been arrested. Paul had been brought before King Agrippa. Paul is going to give a defense. And Paul says in Acts 26 verse 2, King Agrippa, I think myself happy. You know, when you break it down in the original language, it carries the idea of this. You know, King, I thought about my life. I looked at my life. I looked at everything that I've gone through. Remember, Paul talks about what he had gone through as a Christian in several passages. The suffering, the hardship that he faced. But Paul says, you know what, King? I'm happy. I'm happy. That's that inward joy that we're talking about. And I know that's what Paul was talking about. Because physically speaking, things weren't so good for the Apostle Paul. But Paul says, I am happy because of my relationship with the Lord. How can we rejoice in the Lord always? Well, make sure you have, number one, a right relationship with God. In order for you to be able to rejoice in the Lord always, to experience, again, that eternal joy, that eternal peace, we have to have a right relationship with God. Look at the Philippians chapter 3. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3, Paul says, finally, my brethren, here it is again, rejoice, notice where, in the Lord, to write the same things to you, to me indeed. It's not grievous. This isn't a burden, but for you it is safe. For you this is good. In verse 2, he says, I want you to beware of something. I want you to beware of dogs. He's talking about false teachers in the context, particularly Judaizing teachers. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. And listen to what he says in verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and in spirit, and rejoice, notice where, in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul wasn't the only one that was rejoicing, but Paul says, we are the ones that truly know God. We are the ones that have a right relationship with Christ, and that gives us reason to rejoice. The only way that you can rejoice in the Lord is to make sure you have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the point. Paul's making the point. Jesus is making the point in Matthew 7, verse number 21. Not everybody that claims to be a Christian is a Christian. And I don't know why, but sometimes we have a hard time getting that point. Somebody says they're a Christian and we automatically, oh, okay, great. And you sit there and talk to that individual, they've never been baptized into Christ. They're not a part of the kingdom of God. And my question is, how can one experience eternal joy and peace without being baptized or without being a part of the Lord's church? That is only found in the Lord. That is only found in the kingdom. And so if we want to truly experience this, we have to be sure that we have a right relationship with the Lord. Because even Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that says that they are a Christian, that they are a follower of me, is a genuine follower. As I said, the Lord says that. And so if we want to experience eternal joy and peace, we have to be sure that we have a right relationship with the Lord. Number two, if we're going to experience this eternal happiness, we have to walk in the Spirit. But what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? If you would, turn back to the book of Galatians and look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul goes on to show the conflict that is going on between the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says we are to walk in the Spirit. You'll notice in verse number 19 that the Apostle Paul will list out several things that characterize the flesh, several sins that characterize the flesh, beginning at verse number 19, and then in verse number 22, you will see that Paul lists out the fruit of the Spirit. And listen to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, listen to it, joy, and peace. Now, we realize that there are several characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, but I'm highlighting joy and peace. And so when we walk in the Spirit, when this fruit of the Spirit characterizes my life, I will experience eternal joy and peace. I like the terminology that Paul uses here in verse 16 and following. He says, walk in the Spirit. He also uses the idea, in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit. You might circle the word walk and also the word fruit. And you might write out this idea that this gradually happens. It doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens gradually. As I walk in the fruit of the Spirit, I grow in these characteristics in my life. I become more and more like this person that God wants me to be, experiencing eternal joy and happiness. Make sure you are walking in the Spirit. Number three, if we're going to experience this eternal joy and peace, we have to view our trials, our hardships, through the lens of Scripture. You know as well as I do, trials and hardships are a part of this life. You're not going to get away from them. I promise you, they are coming. And I promise you, as long as you live here upon this earth, there are going to be things that we struggle with. There are going to be things that test our faith. It's a part of life. We read about the trials that we face in this life in the book of James. We also read about the trials that we face in this life in the book of 1 Peter. And God explains the purpose behind the trials. They build us up. They give us an opportunity to grow. They give our faith an opportunity to be exercised. We become a better person because of the friction that we face in this life, kind of like a diamond in the rough. If that diamond is going to shine, if you're going to be able to see the brilliance, you have to polish it. And it's the friction that brings out that brilliant stone. And so it is with the trials. In fact, Peter talks about our trials as a purifying process that one goes through, like you purify gold, you heat up gold, and you get gold to the right temperature. You can remove the impurities, the dross, so you can have that fine gold. God is helping us understand the purpose of the trials that we face. But James says something to me that really challenges us as we face those trials. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you face various trials. Again, sometimes I believe we get the wrong idea because we think of this superficial happiness that we talked about earlier. That when we're hurting, we're to be smiling. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. It's an eternal joy. It's an eternal happiness that we have with the Lord that we experience through the trials of this life, because we can look beyond the circumstances, the hardship that we're facing, knowing, you know what? I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a stronger person. I want you to think about it like this. And if you would, turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to see this from Hebrews chapter 12. This is speaking about Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, we're to look to Jesus as we go through this life, as we run the Christian race. And we learn something about Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Now watch this part. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. This really emphasizes my point. I can't think of a better example. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. In John chapter 11, verse 35, I like this verse in school, one of our memory verses. Jesus wept. I can remember that one. Jesus wept. You look at our Lord while He was here on this earth, there were times that He wept. In fact, when He went to the cross, from the book of Hebrews, it says there was strong crying. The Hebrews 12, verse number 2 says, who for the joy that was set before Him. How could Jesus have that joy that was set before Him as He was suffering, as He was enduring so much? Again, He looked beyond the circumstance. He looked beyond the crucifixion to the time that He would be with His Father once again. And He realized that by being lifted up on the cross, John 12, verse 32, all people would have an opportunity to come to Him. It's an eternal joy that we are speaking of. And Jesus experienced it in the midst of trials. That's why James tells us we can count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Again, we're not talking about a superficial joy. We're talking about an eternal joy that brings us closer to the Lord. An eternal joy that looks even beyond this life to when we can be with God in eternity. You remember how Paul viewed this life? In Philippians 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, but to die is to gain. To die is to go home and to be with the Lord. And that's what made Paul happy. We're going to experience two more. Lesson will be yours. We're going to experience this eternal joy. We have to learn to serve the Lord with gladness. In Psalm 100, we are encouraged to come before the Lord with singing. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. We talked about getting involved this morning. We talked about getting busy. Do you realize that we will never be the servant that God wants us to be unless we have the right attitude? The attitude that we're talking about this morning. Learning to serve the Lord with gladness, with eternal joy, having the opportunity to do something, to keep our focus on God. If we find ourselves, and we'll talk more about this from Philippians 4, verse 5 tonight, but if we find ourselves murmuring and complaining, you know where focus is? It's certainly not on God, is it? It's on self. And it's hard to be a servant of God if we have our focus on self. Our focus needs to be on God, and we need to thank God for the opportunities that He gives us to serve Him. To bring glory to His holy name, that should make us happy. Again, that eternal joy. And then finally, how can we always rejoice? By learning to walk by faith and not by sight. And what a challenge it is to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You go back to the Old Testament and you have example after example of God's people walking by sight. And every time they walked by sight, they struggled in their relationship with the Lord. Probably one of the most well-known examples, Numbers chapter 13. When the spies went to spy out the land, they saw the land was beautiful, but then they saw the challenges. They saw the hurdles that they had to overcome in order to have the land. And the Bible says at the end of chapter 13, speaking about the people of God, they became grasshoppers in their own sight because they saw giants in the land. And because of their lack of faith, they empowered the enemy. Do you see the lesson? We empower our enemy, the devil, when we walk by sight and not by faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. But do you know what that means? To walk by faith and not by sight? To walk by faith means you're going to allow God to instruct you. You're going to allow God to guide you. Whatever God says, that's fine with me. It's His way. He knows what is best. He knows what is best for me. And His way always makes me happy. It has a beautiful way of bringing that eternal joy and that eternal peace into our lives. But we have to be teachable. We have to want to welcome God. A lot of times you hear people say, well, I want to be a Christian and I want God on my side and I want to be close to God, but I'm not going to do what He says. You can't have a close relationship with God. You cannot experience eternal joy if you're not listening to God. Faith comes by hearing, and you know the verse, hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to want to encourage you to listen to God, to open His Word, and like David, allow God's Word to order your steps. Read Psalm 119, 133. David allowed God to order his steps. In Psalm 119, 105, he says, I'm going to allow God's Word to be a lamp and a light to my path. And if we will allow God to guide us, to instruct us, think of God's Word as a roadmap that leads you to eternal joy and happiness. Because that's where we will experience eternal joy and happiness. It's in heaven. And God has given us His Word to guide us through this life. That's why He wants us to study His Word and to know His Word. There's a reason behind the command. There's always good reason behind the command. And so when God's Word says, I want you to grow in grace and in knowledge, 2 Peter 3, verse number 18, remember there's a good reason why. If God is going to instruct us, we have to know His Word. Because as we travel down this road, let me tell you, there's a lot of detours. And the devil is telling you, hey, let's go this way. You know what? This way is a lot better. This way is a lot easier. And we question what God's Word says. And we find ourselves, when we question God, we find ourselves wandering away from God. And sometimes, and this is the scary part, we don't even know it. That's why it's so important to treasure this Word in our heart, to allow it to shape us and to mold us into the very image of Jesus Christ. And it starts right here with having the right attitude. God says, rejoice in the Lord. If you're a Christian, you should be happy. If you're not happy, and if you're a Christian, really, this is a great opportunity for all of us to really examine self. Take focus off your selfish ways and put the focus on God. I promise you, you'll become a happier person. This morning we have an opportunity for all of us to really examine our lives and to realize how blessed we are as God's people. And we indeed are blessed if we are citizens of God's kingdom. If you're not a citizen of God's kingdom, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel, to become a child of God, to have that relationship with God so you can experience that eternal joy and peace. And Lord willing, when we come back tonight, we'll continue to look at this divine recipe on how to maintain eternal joy and peace. It begins, number one, with the right attitude. This morning, if we can help you in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.